Won't you turn your attention with me to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 20. This multimedia ministry is pretty impressive. They didn't ask me about anything, but they get it up on the screen, so they know how to find the Bible. Matthew chapter 20, I'm beginning to read from verse 1 through verse 16. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible and invite you to hear the word of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, that's a one day's wage, for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius, a full day's wage. So, when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Flowers fade, grass withers, but the word of the Lord endures forever. For these few preaching moments today, I want to invite you to gather with me around this preaching subject: the generosity of God. The generosity of God. God often does things that seem pretty strange to us. They're fresh, but they're so unfamiliar, we don't quite know what to do with it. If you've gotten accustomed to eating stale bread, fresh bread might taste peculiar. When you're used to eating unhealthy food tastes strange. That's one reason why so many of us prefer French fries to fresh vegetables. And one reason why some of us prefer soft drinks to fresh water. We've gotten so accustomed to what is not healthy that what is healthy and good for us seems strange. And that's the way it is with God. God's ways sometimes seem so strange to us. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 55, beginning verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One difference between the way God operates and the way you and I operate has to do with the benevolence of God compared to the bargaining of people. People often bargain with each other so that we can get what we want or what we think we need. The problem with always bargaining, however, is you often are unsatisfied with the deal that you struck. Now, is anyone in here an automobile dealer? Nobody in here sells automobiles for a living. Well, let me use this as an example then. Has anybody in here ever bought a car? Okay. So you get ready to go to buy a car, and you decide you're going to negotiate. Now, you might buy a new car once every 3, 4, 5 years. And then you try to negotiate with somebody who sells cars every day. You buy a car once every 3, 4, 5 years, and you assume that you have the capacity to negotiate a good deal with someone who sells every day. And then you go in and you've done your research and you're trying to negotiate, and they tell you, you see the list price and you make an offer, and then they start scratching their head and going to the back and talking to the manager and coming back out and then telling you how hard it is. You drive a hard bargain, and then you think you've done a good deal until you talk to somebody else. And you find out that their deal was better than yours. And then all of a sudden, the bargain that you struck, you're not happy with. We're often, and it's the way that we're taught. We're taught to, you try to get the best deal you can. We're bargainers. But God doesn't operate on the bargain. God operates on benevolence, on generosity. And that is strange to us. This story, they're laborers. They're going to work a 12-hour day. The day starts at 6 in the morning, ends at 6 in the evening. So the landowner, I know y'all in the city, so y'all can't appreciate this. But it's kind of like day laborers. You ever seen a day laborer? Okay, so somebody pulls up in the truck where the day laborers are standing waiting and says, you, get in the truck, and then they take off. So he starts at 6 in the morning where the day laborers are, takes them, and they agree that we will work all day for the going rate of a day's work. So that's what the deal is. Everybody is struck the deal. At 9 o'clock, the owner goes back out, sees some more guys standing. Why are you standing here doing nothing? They said, nobody hired us. He says, go into my field and work. Comes back at noon, finds some more. Why are you standing here? Nobody has hired us. You go work. Comes back at 3 in the afternoon. Why are you standing here doing nothing? Nobody's hired us. You go and work. Gets back at 5 in the afternoon. Now the work day is over at 6. Ask them, why are you standing here doing nothing all day? They say, nobody hired us. He says, go work in my field. The 5 o'clock workers get to the field long enough to work 1 hour. Then it's time to get paid because, you know, they're not getting a direct deposit. So they got to get paid in cash, off the books. And so when they start counting out the money, the ones who got there at 5 o'clock got the full day's wage. The full day's wage. That was a good day. You work 1 hour and get paid for 12, and you didn't even strike that deal. You wouldn't have the audacity to try to negotiate that. You were just glad to get what you're going to get. Then the ones who worked 3 hours came. A full day's pay. The ones who worked 6 hours, the same thing. The ones who worked 9 hours, they got paid for 12. It was a good day. So the last ones in the line are the ones who worked all day. And, you know, they were sitting back there watching them count that money. And they must have been feeling pretty good about themselves. If a guy worked 1 hour and got 12 hours worth of pay, how much am I going to get? And I just imagine they started thinking about, now I got to meet my basic needs. You know, I got to take care of the food and the kids and all of that stuff. But after that, I got some money to either enjoy myself or to do something extra or to catch up on what I've been behind on. Can't you imagine what you're thinking about? You've already done the calculations. I've got more money coming than I had budgeted. Most of us have less money than we budget for. But this time you got more money coming than you budgeted for. It's going to be a great payday. And I can see them standing up, even though they worked all day. It's been hot. It's been heavy. It's been manual labor. They've been sweating. But now they're going to get paid, and they get the same money as everybody else. Now, because I'm inside the sanctuary, I cannot dramatize for you as effectively as I could if I was out across the street. So I can't really say what they probably said. What you laughing at me for? Because you know what you'd say, don't you? And so he starts grumbling. They start grumbling because they had made a bargain, but they were not happy with the bargain that they had struck. And so they're angry. And do you know why they're angry? Because they're angry because they think that they merit more than they got. Now, this story is told to tell us something about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And what Jesus wants us to know is that the reign of God is not based on your merit. You don't get merit pay for serving the Lord. Now, before you get too righteous, however, imagine that you've been on the job 15, 20, 25 years, and they bring in somebody new. And you got to train them. They can't even find a toilet alone. You got to train them. You got to teach them. You got to coach them. And then you find out that they're getting paid the same thing. Now, you've been there 15, 20, 25 years, and they just got in the door 25 minutes ago. And they got the same salary, same benefits, same vacation, same everything. You know you're going to be mad. And if you got a union, you headed straight for the union steward. Because our way is to say that you have more value based on your merit. Because you've been in this thing so long, you have more value than somebody who hasn't. That's the way that we are socialized. Now, there might be somebody in here who wouldn't be mad, but I know I would. I've been in my career over 30 years, got 4 degrees, and a lot of experience. I got a long resume. Goes 10 pages if I put everything on. And that's not everything. And if I get to a place, and I'd have to really work. I've been a lot carrier 18 years. If they brought in somebody brand new, and they hadn't, you know, Pamela was talking about the other day, I don't take a regular day off. And right now I'm on about 14 days in a row. And here they come brand new, and they get the same salary, same benefit. You know I'm going to have to pray. I mean, it might not bother you, but I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus to make it right. Because everything in us teaches us that we can merit more than we are valued more than somebody else. But Jesus is trying to teach us that the reign of God doesn't operate on your rules. So you have no more value than I have. I have no more value than you. And none of us who gets up and goes to church on Sunday morning has more value than somebody else who's doing something else. You have no more value than somebody else. Because you do all the right things and say all the right words and you behave yourself, that does not give you more value. And that's strange. That's hard. You working hard trying to raise your children, trying to do everything you're supposed to do, and somebody else got their children raising themselves, and your children act a fool, and their children start doing right, and you sitting there wondering, Lord, I've been working hard. I've been doing all the right things. They hadn't done anything for those children. I should have more value. It's hard. But that's God's way. You have no more value than somebody else. You get no more merit pay because God is generous. You know, the other thing is, these guys who worked all day felt like, look, we have borne the heat, and we have borne the burden, and we have made you more money because we've been working longer for you. So we have given you more than they have. We've given the owner more. The owner got more money because of me. So that means I ought to get more than the other person. And so our thing is, you know, I've been more faithful than he has. I've been more faithful than she has. But here I am dealing with this sickness. Here I am dealing with this foreclosure. Here I am dealing with my family problems. Here I am being laid off, and I've been faithful. Lord, what's going on? Because, see, you're looking at somebody else and trying to measure yourself with them rather than measuring yourself with God's expectations for your life. So I just want to remind you that the reign of God is not based on your merit. You can't earn it. God's reign is not based on your margin. You can't produce any more for the Lord than I can. The reign of God is based on God's mercy. God has been kind and generous to all of us. And we ought to be grateful for it. The owner asked the man, are you envious because I'm generous? What's wrong with you? And that's an important question. Do I get angry at God's blessing in somebody else's life? Because they got what I want, am I mad at them? Are you envious because I'm generous? you know, we're obsessed by margins, but before we get too far down the road, let me remind you that you really don't want to get what you deserve. I mean, you might not want him to get what he deserves, and you might not want her to get what she deserves, but you also don't want you to get what you deserve because you be in a world of hurt. I don't even know your business, but I know business. So why is it that when it comes to somebody else, we want them to get what they deserve, and when it comes to us, we don't want to get what we deserve? We want God to be generous with us, but we're not all that excited about generosity with others. This text shows us a great reversal. God just doesn't play by our rules, and I'm glad about it. The landowner pays those who work the fewest hours the same as those who work the most. That's a great reversal. And rather than being envious because God is generous, what he's trying to get us to do is to learn to be joyous because God is generous. Be thankful that God is kind to others and let that joy flow out through you, not around you. You don't want God to bless others and go around you. You want God to bless others through you so that you can be a part of what God is doing in the world, so that you can be an instrument of that blessing and of that joy. Being generous with those who do not deserve generosity comes from our experience of God's generosity with us. Do you know that the wages of sin is death? That's what we earn when we sin. We earn death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. God has proven God's love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And God has reversed the victory of sin and death because God has raised Jesus from the dead. God reverses things the way that they ought to be. God reverses them to the way that he determines they should be. So may God help us to not be envious because God is generous. And may God help us to learn that because God is generous with us, we should be generous with others. So before you show up for church next time, with whom will you be generous?